Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's always a pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you to be part of mine. We got Kate Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. Kate's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is a business consultant, a speaker, a writer. She's the author of How to Set Your Fees and Get Them. She's also an organization expert and has a lot of other things going on, but she talks to us about things that help you and me in our small businesses. Kate, welcome back to the show.
I'm delighted to be back. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. Kate, I was talking to the audience. I know that one of your favorite things to talk about is to how to help people who are charging for their time, charging fees for their time. You like talking about that, and you know that's what one of your books is all about, and I do too, because I was telling the audience before we went to the last break, that in 1989 I started my consulting business, and I wanted to establish an hourly rate for myself. And I decided it was going to be $50 an hour. But I was also intimidated by the fact that I didn't have any clients.
That's a problem.
A small detail, yes. And I said, okay, how can I get people's attention? And so what I did, when I called on them and when I talked to them, they'd say, what are your rates? And I'd say, well, I have my fee is $50 an hour, but because you're one of my first clients, I didn't tell him the first guy, he was my first one. Because you're one of my first clients, I'm going to give you a discount because you're taking a chance on me, and I'm going to reduce that. And I said, your rate is going to be $33 an hour. I just came up with that number.
That was a great strategy.
Out of the blue. I mean, I just came up with $33.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that $33 wasn't going to keep my business afloat. But within a very short time, I mean like 6 months, I never charged anybody that rate again. Even the people who had once paid me 33, within 6 months, I had done work that was good enough that they didn't have a problem paying me $50 an hour. Before long, it went to 65 and on and on. So that was the building block method that I used to get my consulting business off the ground.
Well, that was great. And I must say that one of the difficulties is everybody does need to have an hourly rate, but I frequently tell people don't show your cards at the beginning. If you can go in and assess the level of a job and give them a package price
right.
that you think you can work within, it's much better. And it needs to be based on your hourly rate and what you need to be making per hour. But the problem is when somebody hears $50 an hour, they're not making $50 an hour because they, whatever their hourly rate is, they're not factoring in the
or
fact
they,
that,
or they don't,
that
even if they
benefit.
Even if they are making that much, they're not paying. They weren't in those days, they weren't paying anybody $50 an hour.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the problem is when they look at a situation like that, they're like, oh, how many hours is it going to take? This could cost a fortune.
Right.
So the immediate reaction is one of fear. And it's just like if you went into a store and the suit that was on the rack was special order and they said it's going to be $50 an hour and we're not sure how long it's going to take our tailor to make this
right,
suit.
Right.
You need to be able to give people an end point. You know, so there are two ways around that. One is coming up with a package price, or the second possibility is capping it and saying, I'll work with you for 10 hours and then we'll reevaluate the
exactly.
rest of the project.
Good point.
And that way they know they have $500 on the table mm-hmm. that we're discussing and they can evaluate whether or not it's worth $500 to get this particular task off their list. It's a way of looking, you know, just like your $33 an hour discount plan was great, it's a way of marketing your business because you're looking at it from the viewpoint of the client.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I used to do is I would try to come up with that. I learned a long time ago that people like to buy products. They like to buy things that are wrapped up in a nice little package with a ribbon around it and their name on it. And so if I was doing a business plan or whatever, I would come up with a rate and I would say, okay, I will do this business plan for you for $1,500, let's say.
And that's a great
And that includes this many hours. And if you go, if we go over that, I'll tell you, and this is the rate that it will be, just like you said. If, but you have to, you do need to give them, you do need to set a certain number of hours for that package price that you were talking about, and then tell them what the rate will be above that, and then that's a good time to give them a discount.
Exactly. And that way they feel safe and they feel comfortable and as if you're seeing it from their standpoint. I guess another thing, I had a funny experience. I have a very talented friend who is in the process of starting a new type of consulting business, and she would be dynamite. But she and I were going back and forth. She kept emailing me the proposal, you know, page that she was going to take in with her for an in-person meeting. And she'd kind of given them a general idea of what her day rate was going to be. And in the process, she finished the letter and she said, "This sounds so good. I think I'm going to charge them more." And I said, wait. You don't have a single client. You have given them this general idea. Don't be greedy. You can charge the next client more. Stay with what you did and see if you get the job." Because right. It was one of those things that she got so enthusiastic about what she could accomplish
for them. She was so proud of herself, wasn't she?
Exactly. And I'm sure she'll do a great job. But I think that people sometimes forget that you do need to build a track record. And starting out for a little less than what you ultimately want to be making is a way of getting your foot in the door and getting employment. Because the bottom line is, you can say your hourly rate is $250 an hour, but if nobody is paying it, then it really doesn't do any good to have that higher rate.
Well, those early clients who actually can be a reference for you are worth 1,000 times more than the money they paid you over the life of your career.
Absolutely. They're a big part of your...
Okay, maybe not 1,000, maybe 560 times more.
Yeah.
But a lot more. You see my point, folks. I'm being a little hyperbolic. But the thing is, Kate, they're worth so much more than the money they paid you because now you've got some critical mass. Now you've got a taproot, don't you?
Exactly. So that way people will, you know, in other words, at some point you'll be able to raise your rates because you have so much work that you can afford to lose a job because you're charging so much money. But you need to build up to that stage.
Right. Hey, Kate, give us your website, please.
My website is www.katekelly.com.
And that's K-E-L-L-Y, K-A-T-E, as you can imagine, but K-E-L-L-Y.com. Check that out when you get a chance. The book is How to Set Your Fees and Get Them, which they can get online, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Can they find it at your website as well?
Absolutely.
All right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Kate Kelly. We're going to talk some more about how to set your fees and get them and some ideas on how you can package your personal services. It's 20 after. Here's the late, great Marvin Gaye to take us out. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Duke of Earl, and I'm glad to have you here. Kate Kelly is our guest, and she's the author of How to Set Your Fees and Get Them. She's a really smart person, folks. I'm glad to have her as an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. Kate, your website is your name, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. Thank you.
KateKelly.com. No E on the end, just one E in the middle. Kate, we're talking about how to set your fees and get them, and I hear from people all the time who are starting, you know, these kinds of businesses, and they want to know how to get started and everything. And I really like your idea of establishing a product, because I do think that people like to have things defined, don't you?
Absolutely. They want to know that they're going to get something at the end, and that's more than just getting three ideas from you. You need to have some way of presenting your material that gives them something of substance, partly because they may have to justify it to a boss.
Right.
So they may need something physical to turn around and show someone.
You know, there's one other thing that I think consultants ought to do more of, and when I was a consultant full-time in consulting business, I never billed my clients more than once a month. I billed them once a month. I did tell them in the beginning, now, folks, I don't want to be part of your accounts payable. You know, I don't want to wait 45 days on my money because this is, you know, this is personal services. But I will bill you once a month, but I want to be paid within 10 days of the invoice. And I always set that up. I always got that established up front. And that was important, that they didn't just put me into the accounts payable and they paid me whenever they got around to it. That was one thing that I did once a month, even though there were times, Kate, when I needed to be paid every week or every 2 weeks. And I see consultants make that mistake. They bill their people once a week or every other week or whatever, and it makes them look small time and desperate. And I never wanted to look that way. I wanted to look like a real going concern, and it hurt a little bit in the beginning because I needed the money. But I think that's a mistake that some people make, is billing their clients on too often a cycle.
Well, you know, I have an interesting story on. It's interesting that you bring this topic up. I interviewed one woman who was a freelance college counselor who went into private schools and would work a couple of days a week with their seniors in terms of college applications and that sort of thing. And she was out in Seattle. There weren't that many private schools, but it was a regular daytime gig for her, where her normal business would have been after school working with students. It was a great use of her time. One of the schools was in difficult financial trouble, and so what she found worked was once a month she would go and sit in their accounting office on Friday mornings until they cut her a check. And I said, oh, wow, that really sucks. And she said, no, it doesn't. It's one of the few jobs I could have that fills the daytime hours. It's a couple of hours of my Friday morning once a month, and if that's what it takes in order to get a timely payment from them and maintain this school as a client, then that works for me. I go, I pay my bills, I do reading, you know, mm-hmm. and I get my check. So it's one of those things that sometimes you do kind of crazy things in order to make it work out, mm-hmm. but if it works for you and you can keep going with a client in a specialty like that, more power to you. That's just wonderful.
I used to have a guy who was a real miser. He was the tightest guy I ever met in my life. And he was a little slow in paying me. And his attorney gave me a tip one time. He said, give him a discount. I said, what do you mean? He said, give him two net 10.
Yeah.
And I'd never done that before. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said he can't stand the idea of not taking advantage of that discount.
I did that,
and the guy, here's what the thing, the guy called me, this is a true story, he called me the day after his 10 days was up, and this guy's a multimillionaire.
Uh-huh.
He said, Jim, he said, if I came over and brought you the check right now, can I still get my 2% discount?
Love it.
And I said, yes, sir, and he got in his car and drove to my office with that check to get his 2%. You know, it was probably a couple hundred, maybe even $150 or something. I don't know. It was no money at all. And this is a multimillionaire, but that was what motivated him.
Exactly.
Isn't that a great story?
The bottom line was you got paid and you didn't have to fire the client.
You
got to
be creative, exactly. You had something else on your mind I think you want to talk about.
I do. I wanted to talk about something you wrote about in your newsletter this last issue about smelling roses and an entrepreneur, what constitutes smelling the roses. And I think you ought to talk a minute about that.
Well, I was just saying that a lot of times people look at people like you and me, Kate, small business owners, and we're working hard, we're in our businesses, maybe we even sometimes work 7 days a week, long hours. I know my typical day is 12 hours, and they say, you know, I've had a lot of people say to me, Kate, Jim, you should really stop and smell the roses, you know, you're just working too hard. And after a while, I started thinking, wait a minute. I am smelling the roses. I love what I do. What's wrong with working in your business if you love it?
I 100% hear you. That is great.
And so I think a lot of entrepreneurs are smelling their roses when they're working. And
exactly.
and I think the civilians out there need to realize that, don't you?
And being in your own business is so multifaceted. It's not like you're doing just one thing the whole time. You shift, you do something else, it's a different task. You know, you are keeping a level of balance, but it's just all around something you love, whether it's a chocolate store you've just opened or, you know, a consulting business you're running. It's very engaging, and that's the whole point of things.
Right.
We won't have to sit there and do crossword puzzles when we're older because we'll have our own mental stimulation.
And one thing about being in your own business, you don't nod off in the middle of the day either, do you, Kate?
Right.
Always
exactly.
Plenty of things to keep your attention. Kate, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always good to talk to you.
Kate Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. That's katekelly.com, and her book is How to Set Your Fees and Get Them. It's a good one. Quick break. Right back with Ivan Meisner. Right after these messages, we're going to celebrate International Networking Week.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.